Hey, bro, don't forget, it ain't the first 48, bro. It's 60 minutes, bro.
We heard a whole lot of lip service, but hey, anybody can do that. But between them lines,
we're coming to camp. You best not miss. Even the score now. We need a score now. Back on that wall, when you hear that call, you know it's going down. We play from beginning to ending, you know how we finish. Turn at the bank, gotta handle our business. We need the ball, so it's time to go get it. Play with your heart when you hit, make me feel it. Like, you know I'm with. Come to the bank and get out of line, we sending a blitz. Say, who you with? You know who I'm with. That purple and black, and when we attack, you know what it is.
You're not locked in this group. Zone 32. 32.
What is dead may never die. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Zone 32 podcast. I have returned, and I got a group of motherfuckers with me. My name is Jake. His name is Drew. His name is Will. His name is Grant. His name is Trippy. And of course, returning, this is, I believe, the third appearance on this. Third appearance on the show.
Way
this
more man's than three.
Name, I think it's only three.
He starts off every show.
All right. His third live appearance.
Well, yeah, third live appearance. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The third live in person for the session appearance. His name is Lil Key. Say what's up to the people.
It was good. Okay. It was good.
No, Jake. Jake, you no.
Stop. I'm not going to.
We have important things to get to.
He's all right. We got fucking time. What you mean? But you're right. We do have important things to get to.
Yeah, no.
Free agents. You shut the fuck up, Drew. What you mean?
Did you shout me out? Did you shout me out? Jake, you shout me out?
Of course,
yeah. Yeah, right. Always.
Thank you for buying.
Speaking of which, before I forget,
you should have called me King Trippy. Hello, King Trippy.
King Trippy. I feel you. I respect it.
We're all kings now. Everybody's a king around here, right?
Yeah. Everybody's king.
Shout out to the
Royal
King Zone 32 podcast.
That's right.
We'll get into those details, but let your boy lead into it. Now, hold on a second. Free agency's upon us. Since I've been away, things have happened, such as what y'all predicted last week. Mr. 92, Matt Abike, getting re-upped for a four-year, $98 million contract, 75.5 of which guaranteed, and 53.5 was due to him at signing. So there was that. Fast forward to Monday and Tuesday. You lose Gus Edwards to the Chargers, allegedly. I mean, you still got to sign the deals because this is the legal tampering period. Nothing's official until Wednesday, the start of the league year, but it appears Gus Edwards going to the Chargers. That's whatever. I don't care about that. John Simpson's going to the Jets, getting paid handsomely. Whatever, I don't give a fuck about that. Geno Stone's an op. And we discovered he has a fetish for keeping in the family. Because why else would he go to the fucking Bengals? Let's keep it real. The only things to do in Cincinnati are Skyline Chili and fuck your sister. So obviously.
Or cousin.
Those two things. Yeah, well, yes. As long as you keep it within the family.
They don't discriminate, Jake. It's all blood relatives.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you keep it within the family tree, it's good. In Cincinnati, because they're disgusting people.
All in the Family has a new meaning in Cincinnati.
Yes, and it's not just a Corn and Limp Bizkit song, but still, Geno Smith to the Bungles, and of course, most importantly, actually not most importantly, we'll get to the royalty in a bit, but Mr. Queen leaves to go be an op in Pittsburgh, sign a three-year, $41 million deal, like a bitch. I'll say it. Nah, he's an all right fella. You make your money.
Nice guy. Horrible decision maker.
Yes, horrible decision making. This is ultimate fucking traitorous ways. But that's neither here nor there. And he recognizes he wants to become the villain. He's been listening to too much MF Doom lately. Like he posts the Joker gif after all this shit. But here's the good news: a certain King has returned to Baltimore, but he's going to be donning the purple and black as Derrick Henry has signed a 2-year, $16 million contract with the Ravens, could be worth up to 20 with incentives, $9 million of which are guaranteed. So now's the time to leave it to the panel. Drew, start with you. You know what to do. Say your words.
Grant and I nailed the Matt Abike extension. Will also agreed to it. He may not know that he agreed to it, but he agreed with our findings.
I'm aware.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like Simpson leaving, we weren't going to sign him again. You know, Geno Stone, like fucking horrific decision making. Also, Geno Stone had a tweet that he said you should ask somebody else about that when somebody asked him why he went to the Bengals. Kind of head scratching, like who the fuck else are you supposed to ask why you went to the Bengals than you, Geno Stone? But, you know, it's whatever. Gus Edwards reuniting with Greg Roman makes perfect sense. Again, like I think anybody could see that coming a mile away. And Patrick Queen is a real head scratcher. Maybe he just didn't have a market. I don't know why he would ever willingly go to the Steelers, but fucking have fun, pal. Like, I can't wait till we now get to beat you twice a year. We were a pro Patrick Queen podcast, I would say, compared to most Ravens fans, and spitting our faces by going to the Steelers. So it is what it is. He's dead to me too. Geno Stone dead to me. And I first reported the Derrick Henry news on Monday. I had source send me a picture of him at BWI, so I knew that was going to happen, and finally happened.
And Trippy leaked it, and people doubted him. Said something big was coming, would make everyone happy. And is Derrick Henry not the dictionary definition of big?
He's quite large.
Fucking huge.
Pause. Very, very fast. Very fast.
Pause. Pause, Will.
Will's been saying some suspect things lately. But
listen, I mean, you don't have to take it there. The guy is a giant.
Right. I thought he was going to say something like, yeah.
He's a giant.
Something else was happy. And I mean, Derrick Henry makes you happy, right? He's like, yeah, big.
If I had a choice. You said something big was coming, and he's a big dude. All right. Okay. You want to take it there?
I get what you mean.
I'm just going to say pause after Will talks every time. See what happens. See what comes of it.
This thing, he's a physical running back.
He's 6 foot three, like, 247 pounds. He's fucking huge.
If you gave me the choice running back on the market who I could have gotten, it would have been Saquon. But dollar for dollar, we got the best deal out of Henry, out of Jacobs out of Jacobs and Barkley.
Saquon broke the bank. Howie Roseman's an idiot. It's Howie Roseman doing Howie Roseman things. They are going to be fucked on that at some point in the next, middle of next year.
They're not
going to
win.
Or year three, right? Exactly.
Where are you getting all this money from?
I have no idea.
They just got CJ. $33 million.
Another 33 million. Right, exactly. And they always are doing this shit where a year into the contract, they're having to cut guys and eat money and all this other bullshit. And you have Jalen Hurts on this contract that at some point they're gonna have to pay the piper on that motherfucker too. Now
he's the one they can't escape.
Right, they're pushing cap hits down the road. At some point, the Eagles are gonna have like an 0-18 season. Because they've fucked themselves so hard on these cap hits. So if they don't win a Super Bowl in this window, they won a very lucky Super Bowl in 2017. But this current team that they've spent all this money on, they have a lot of great players on this team, or one version of it. And they've come and gone. But I mean, if they don't win another Super Bowl with this was an epic failure.
The problem with them is that they have so much dead money and so much shit that they've kicked down the road that, like you said, in order to completely clear that out, they're going to have to like get rid of everyone and start fresh.
There's not a big difference between the Eagles and the Saints. There's really not a big difference.
No, other than the Eagles have a little bit more talent. But
and the fact that the Eagles have made it further into the playoffs. I guess the Saints haven't really even made the playoffs or gotten anywhere in the playoffs. But like they're using the exact same approach. It's just that it keeps the Saints just haven't really done anything with what their attempts. But
you can't tell me though, Saquon was my clear cut number one. Like he was the guy like that I wanted us to get and all that. As far as running backs go, I was on record saying you pay for a guy that's premier, you pay for a running back that's top tier, and Derrick Henry was my number two. I will all day take Derrick Henry as the AAV of $8 million over Saquon at 12.6.
No, Saquon's up to 16.
Based off the value alone, huh?
Saquon can go up to 16. Derrick Henry can go up to 10. So I mean, you're talking like
That's significant. I'm talking just base out of their base. His is 12.6, and then Henry's is 8. But you look at the dynamics of that, and then people are like, oh, Derrick Henry fell off. He did this. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, are you all not watching football? Like, do you just not watch football? He had 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns on the ground last year behind all of us in here at offensive line and a quarterback revolving door. His best weapon on offense outside himself was DeAndre Hopkins, and that's when he had a quarterback that could get him the football. Right. Like, that dude was in a nightmare situation. He was a consummate pro about it. He went to work every day, and he worked hard, and he still rushed for fucking 1,200 yards.
And hey, Grant, in the last game of the season, when you would think a guy at his age and with his workload would be worn out, you know, his maybe his legs are, you know, at the end of the season, you would think maybe he's slowing down. He needs rest. He hit his highest speed on the ground of the entire season, almost 22 miles per hour with the ball in his hands.
Bro, and the craziest thing about that shit is, like, you can tell, like, what people know what athletes are and which ones just watch TV and blow smoke. That motherfucker's 6'3", 250, and hitting almost 22 miles an hour. Like, that, good night.
That's
and
basically like, that's basically like Owe hitting 22 miles an hour.
But bigger. Yeah. Like, yeah. Owe's kind of slender. Like,
They're about the same measurements, I think. But, like, right? They're maybe Owe's a couple inches taller. He's like maybe 6'5".
People also don't understand that, yeah, I like Saquon better because of his ability to play in the slot, and he's more of a passing down guy. Derrick Henry might be more of a two-down back, depending on the down and distance on third down this year. But, like, the RPO system, and we're not strictly RPO as much as we were with Greg Roman, but you get that motherfucker going downhill, and you have a zone block scheme where, you know, it's boom. You got Derrick Henry on you with a linebacker, and you're a linebacker. Like, that's not a fun battle to be in. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, and I was trying to explain to somebody earlier, is that they were like, you know, the boxes are already stacked. They're stacked, but they're not stacked inside the tackle box. Derrick Henry's downhill running makes you have to pinch your inside guys more. So then what's that do? That opens up the outside zone. That opens up the RPOs with Lamar, the Jets. You know, Monken ran a lot of Jets with Zay last year. You know, whether
it was that opened up one-on-ones with the receivers as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're going to be more – there's going to be more space on the outside. So mm-hmm. if they align the receivers, especially the Z, you know, let's say inside the numbers, if you're on, you know, the left hash playing the boundary side, like, I'll take any receivers that we can have one-on-one in that formation because there's too much field to cover. I don't care how good you are as a DB or a corner. That's a liability.
All right, Grant.
Exactly what I was going to say. That was pretty much – that was why I've been talking to Will all week. I told him up front, my number one pick was Henry over top of Saquon, simply for that reason, just because of I feel as though he was just a better fit for the team. And, like, it would be a better situation for the Ravens as a whole in that offensive scheme.
Yeah, so to that point –
as a teammate too, as a locker room guy, as a person, like, he just fits Baltimore.
I mean, that's not taken away from Saquon at all. But about the downhill, about the boxes collapsing on number one, they stack the box, they have to collapse on Henry if we're doing RPO action or anything. So if defenses choose to load the box on Derrick Henry in Baltimore, as they did, this is Warren Sharp. I know Drew hates him, but this is great looking forward to what we can see on the field next year. If defenses choose to load the box on Derrick Henry in Baltimore, as they did at the number one highest rate in Tennessee, and they already do it against us as it is because of Lamar Jackson and the running game in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson versus 7+ man boxes last year, 158 attempts. Number one in EPA per drop back, plus 0.27. Number one in success rate, 56%. Number three in completion rate, 72%. Number four in YPA, 9.1. That's going to get better when you talk about combining.
Those are two made-up stats.
Well, but I'm just saying,
and success rate. That's nerd shit. Fuck Warren Sharp. Fucking.
Well, dork. No,
all I'm saying is all those numbers.
Yards per attempt is not a nerd stat. Yards per attempt is a deal.
That's why I said two, Jake. You said three stats, and I said two of them were made up nerd stats.
All I'm saying though is all those numbers are accounting for Derrick Henry in Tennessee. Now apply them. Hold on, no, that was Lamar Jackson versus 7+ man boxes last year. Now add Derrick Henry to that equation. That's, I mean, it's going to be a fucking feast for Lamar.
So yeah, Derrick Henry's been running behind.
Another stat too that he had. It was like the Titans were the worst. It was like they were like 30, 31, 32 with as far as off ball push, like before contact.
It was. I think what you were looking at was Derrick Henry's yards before contact. Is what
exactly
made him,
and his yards after initial contact. The difference. It's crazy from our offensive line to that. So you're basically saying that nobody would touch Derrick Henry till 3 yards. So he averaged 4.5 last year, 4.6, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
So 4.2.
That's a 2-yard difference, right? in the two. So you're talking about he goes from with that offensive line to our offensive line potentially averaging almost 6 yards a carry. You give me Derrick Henry at 6 yards a carry, 15 carries a game. Let's boogie.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a, you know, Ravens hater who wants to be mad all the time, nobody should be mad at Derrick Henry signing. Like, there's no downside to it. It's not like you tied a ton of money up into him. If, God forbid, something happens and he's, you know, not the same guy after year one, you can get rid of the rest of that contract very easily.
That's what I was about to ask. So explain that a little more. Like, because so I keep seeing they say, like, it's kind of, it's a 2 year deal, but it's kind of like a 1 year deal. How is that?
They basically have an out after the first year. He's guaranteed $9 million at signing. And I think he's paid like seven of that $9 million in year one. So if we were to cut him after year one, we'd only eat like a $2 million dead cap hit.
Yep.
So,
and he'd get all of his guarantees.
Yeah, he basically gets most of his guarantees up front, so it essentially works out.
His signing bonus was $9 million, I think, and then but I think his guarantee was $9 million too, wasn't it?
And they say, yeah. And they say that the deal was worth to up to $20 million.
Yeah,
yeah, and so years. Like, you know, he's got $4 million in incentives over the 2 years built in, but it's a team friendly contract, and again, you go dollar for dollar with him and Saquon. Like, I think that Henry was the no brainer pick. If you listen to the talking heads and the people who know way more inside shit about the Ravens, is that, you know, there was traction with Saquon. They met with him at the combine and they wanted him here. I think they viewed him internally as like the number one running back to fit their scheme. And his price was just way too high. And you know, yesterday, if you had asked me this question, I would have been like, well, like, what the fuck? Pay the guy. Like, you're going to have to pay a premium for a running back. You want to get a running back, just fucking commit and go all in. But EDC's patient and gets just as good of a fit for half the price. Like, you're never going to hear a complaint out of me, you know? And again, it's half the price, and it's structured as a, if it doesn't work out, you can move on and you're not really hurting the team in the future.
Well, and fans are getting mad too, because they think inactivity is a bad thing. But when you're in a position with us, with the roster we have, yeah, we lost bodies, but we lost a lot of replaceable bodies.
The only body that we lost that played meaningful snaps was John Simpson and
Ronald Darby.
And yeah, Darby. And we lost Darby.
I wanted Darby back.
But $5 million for a guy, or what is he getting? 5 a year or 4 a year or something like that? Hey, yeah.
He got decent money.
This team got all of them paid.
We weren't gonna get $5 million. He didn't play $5 million worth of snaps for us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I'm okay with, I would have liked him back too, but I get why we didn't pay him. Again, Simpson was a league average left guard. So, like, we can replace him. I'm not too worried about it. The only guy that played legitimate snaps for us was Patrick Queen. And you knew that there was not much of a chance that he was coming back. I mean, yeah. We just logistically.
I thought he took it more than it got.
I have to wonder, this was brought up, I think, in our group chat earlier, and I've seen other people say it. Like, Mike McDonald didn't take Geno Stone or Patrick Queen with him. And so I feel like the league must know, like, that, you know, to some extent, Patrick Queen is a. You need a good supporting cast around him to kind of cover his deficiencies and, you know, in coverage. Like, he can't cover people behind him. He's never been able to. That's not what he does well at. And you need to pair him with somebody who can do that.
The red flag to that is they lost Jordan Brooks to Miami. So they had a hole at the middle linebacker position. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Bobby Wagner is still out there as a free agent. So they don't have anybody in the middle, and Queen knows his defense. So, like, where's the disconnect? And it's not like Seahawks are broke.
He had to know that Patrick Queen could not be the guy in that defense. And that's fine. That's no shot at Patrick Queen.
Yeah, okay? I like Patrick Queen. It's not a shot.
I like what he brought to the table for our team because we had Roquan. Like, I think that made Patrick Queen. I liked Patrick Queen when we drafted him. I liked the idea of him being our number one inside linebacker. He became 10 times better of a player with Roquan next to him because it allowed him to do, you know, focus on what he did well.
I was seeing projections of him getting like a 4 year, $81 million contract, and he ended up getting a 3 year.
I was thinking like 15, 16. But like,
yeah, what did Edmonds get last year with Queen, the Bears? He got some ridiculous contract.
You said, who get?
Oh, Edmonds.
Tremaine Edmonds. Yeah, he got like 17.
His was 80, I think.
Like that.
4 years, yeah. $72 million.
72. But
yeah, so.
And like with Queen, like his biggest strength is when he doesn't have to think and he can just go. He's good as a plus one defender on an additional rush up the middle, and he's good at applying pressure, and he's great at pursuit. which we drafted that guy last year. Now, he's not Patrick Queen, and he's got a lot of development to go, but he's an explosive athlete. He's a hitter. He can blitz. So, like, I mean, we saw flashes towards the end of the season when they let Simpson get some snaps. And I think with, you know, Roquan's tutelage, Zach Orr there, you know, being in his ear, being a former linebacker in the system, and now he is kind of carrying that on. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off.
Me neither.
No.
And Mike McDonald had input in that pick for that exact reason, because they did expect to lose Patrick Queen in free agency. Yeah. So there wasn't like the expectation necessarily that McDonald was leaving. You know, that's always the possibility, but McDonald was part of the game planning to replace players who were on the, you know, on the track to move on. Patrick Queen, they didn't give him the fifth year option. That was a decision that was made last year. McDonald was part of the decision-making process there. So drafting Simpson was, all right, we got to draft a guy who can slot in for Patrick Queen when he inevitably moves on to get his money. So,
and
you know,
small sample size, but Simpson looked fine against the Steelers last year.
Yeah, you know, more than fine.
I was a little shocked, though, that neither one of them, Queen or Stone, didn't go to UCF. I strongly believe that one of them.
Oh, I thought for sure one was.
Yeah,
I thought Patrick Queen to Seattle was like the biggest slam dunk of all time. And, yeah, you know, now the more that I clear out there,
especially what Wagner's not returning there. I don't believe it.
Sounds like it.
But I think
both of the safeties.
And if it got to that point, I think McDonald would have gone all in for Matabuke.
That's what I was going to say. I think that that's why EDC prioritized getting, number one, tagging Matabuke and then getting that deal done, just because if Matabike was available, he was going to go to Seattle, because Leonard Williams didn't re-sign until yesterday.
Leonard Williams probably wouldn't re-sign.
Yeah.
We didn't touch on this, but EDC had the reading books to kids the day of the Matabike extension, and you had the typical morons out on Twitter of, oh, what's EDC doing? You should be working to extend Matabike. Why is he reading books to kids? And it's like, oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Here's the extension.
These fucking people, just they drive me crazy with the shit they think. Like yesterday, for example, the first day of the legal tampering period, they think like idiot fake Dr. Tom when the first thing that happened was Malik Harrison resigned. He's like, well, why is that the priority? It's not the fucking priority. You think EDC is sitting there
to get done? Yeah.
All day long talking to fucking Derrick Henry on the phone? No, that's not how it works, man. He's talking. He's on the phone talking to everybody. He's nonstop. This guy, that guy, that agent. It's nonstop. It's not one guy. It's not the focus. Obviously, there is a priority, but if Derrick Henry's reps are talking to somebody else, which they are, they're trying to get the best deal for their guy. The Saquon thing, you know, obviously that went quickly. The running back market was moving very fast. There's other things that can happen in the meantime. That's a very easy deal to get done. The guy's in the building. He's around. So get on the phone. Hey, Malik, you want to stay? All right, cool. Here's the deal. You want to do this? All right, let's get it done. Pen on paper. You don't even have to get him in the building to sign, because you can't even sign deals yet, you know?
You can sign your own guys, but that's...
Well, whatever. I mean, you know, it's like it's just getting structure in place. So really, it's like...
I tweeted, you know, like 6 minutes into free agency, I did the guy poking somebody with a stick meme that says, do something.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, you know, and I put EDC's face on there, and I was like, why haven't we signed anybody yet? As a joke, but there were people that were like actually doing that.
Yeah,
like actually freaking out that at 12:10 we hadn't announced that we signed a free agent.
People want you to rebuild the whole roster in 10 fucking minutes when the goddamn legal tampering period opens. Like, come on, guys.
These are the same people that complain about bad contracts and say that we have, you know, like a middle heavy roster that we overpay, you know, middle of the market talent. But guys who are top of the market talent aren't typically free agents.
Oh, and so by the way, the middle of the market talent. That's the reason we were so competitive this year. That's the reason that people like Ronald Darby, who people were fucking shitting their pants about walking, who got a $10 million deal when we signed him off the scrap heap in August last year. That's why, because we had all that middle of the market talent. So,
Yeah,
all the complaining about that is crazy to me.
I mean, well, realistically,
the running backs were top free agent heavy, and the draft class is not very strong. Like, I don't see, and I was talking to VD about this earlier. Like, he was against the us spending money on Derrick Henry. I explained to him, okay, pay for top tier.
Do you understand why he was? Do I have to explain?
No, you don't. No, you don't. Okay, but good. Like I told him that I don't really see any day one guys in the draft. Like, that are going to come in, start for their team. Now, somebody could come out and just ball the fuck out, like Roschon Johnson did. You know, he did for it. You know, you got some guys that'll flash and show. Keaton Mitchell for us. Like, it's bound to happen, but I don't really, off the, you know, surface, don't see anybody.
Corum, and this is not a, I'm going to get yelled at for a biased Michigan take, but Corum is the guy that'll come in and make noise his rookie year because he's got a nose for the end zone.
My favorite running back out of the draft is Bucky Irvin from Oregon.
I really like him too. He's a little smaller than I thought. Like, he didn't look his measurables at the combine kind of made me be like, I didn't realize he was that small. He plays a lot bigger. But I think the kid from Clemson, Shipley, I think, Will Shipley is his name.
He'd probably be like a fourth round guy.
Yeah, and that Benson kid from Florida State. You know, there's a bunch of guys who can play, but I don't know if any of them can step in and be a legitimate bell cow running back. And I think the only one, like I said, is Corum, and that's because his touchdown numbers are going to be, you know, big. Like, somebody drafts him and knows how to use him, they're going to use him inside the 20, and he's a fucking red zone.
You know who I think can be a bell cow, too.
So you're talking about Trey Benson, Drew, from Florida State.
Yeah.
He's a fucking dude.
There's two more guys who I think can be bell cow type of running back.
Audric Estime.
Well, I think he can be. You're going to talk about his 40 time, which does not matter for a bell cow. It really doesn't. But
I mean, he's still running his 40 per sources, so he still hasn't finished yet.
Okay, but also, what's the guy's first name? Allen from Wisconsin.
Braylon Allen.
That dude's going to be. He's huge.
He's okay. Another. He's a faster guy, or not a faster guy. Hey, he's a
Trippy,
younger.
I know what you're gonna say.
I was gonna say Trippy. He said Duffy. He coming.
Yeah,
Duffy's Trippy, about to say. I ain't gonna say Duffy. Yeah, man. Pause, man. Pause, man.
That dude is gonna get carries in the NFL because he is jacked. He's fucked. He's a guy that can take hits.
I just worry he's another Bo Scarborough. Remember Bo Scarborough who came
Drew,
after Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
That's a home run cop. Like, that's exactly how I feel. Yeah. Like, could he be a guy? Yeah, but I mean, I see Bo Scarborough all day.
Well, I just get worried with guys like Braylon Allen who are like huge and jacked that you're like, you know, logistically, you look at him, you're like, that guy should run for, you know, 1,700 yards and nobody should be able to tackle him. And then they come in the NFL and they're just a step too slow. And
I just see him. I see him more like a LeGarrette Blount, though.
Yeah, but you might not be wrong. It's very possible.
And that's also kind of what I see Estime maybe being more like two.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine.
Estime's got good lateral vision, but Braylon Allen worries me a lot because a lot of times when I was watching his tape, he runs tall. You can't do that in the NFL. He will get absolutely smacked at the second
and
level.
And Wisconsin running backs, you know, again, ball out in college and then come in the NFL and don't do much. So.
And Notre Dame running backs tend to have pretty good success in the NFL, just generally. They have
I'm out on Notre Dame. We've got our hit on Notre Dame. I don't want to try it again.
Yeah, well, whatever. Michigan running backs aren't the greatest success story I've ever heard of. Mike Hart, what a
yeah, I mean, he's
so
got
so while we talk about the draft, issues. Then who's everybody going for? Who y'all think we should go for as far as first pick?
I want Brian Thomas Jr. Like, that's I would sacrifice.
I just heard that name earlier.
He won't last.
He's a wide receiver. He's the number two wide receiver for LSU. And like,
there's
he's
there at 30.
I don't know. Again, like, this is one of those weird drafts where there's a lot of wide receivers that are getting hyped up. You had Worthy, you know, break the combine record. Adonai Mitchell showed up at the combine. You got Neighbors, Odunze, and Harrison are, you know, guaranteed to go top three. Like, if there's a position where things could get weird and somebody could drop, it's wide receiver. And I'm never going to say never. This is a Kyle Hamilton situation to me. Kyle Hamilton never should have been there at 14 for us, and he fell. Yeah, LeGarrette, I don't think – I don't know. He's a guy, like, I feel like if we trade down in the first round, that's a guy you grab in the 40s.
Yeah.
My ideal situation is we get Kingsley at 30, and then we somehow get – I don't think Leggett's going to go far into the second round, but I think he's just dynamic.
Cooper DeJean.
Grant, Grant, I like – okay, so this is the ideal situation. We get a tackle at the end of the first round. We trade into the middle of the second round, and we get Leggett, right? Kind of like we were hoping we would have done with Pickens. But we get Leggett, who is not a psychopath who abuses retarded people.
Well, in my other draft crush,
Paul, just moves. I got past. You, Tripp.
But somebody else that would fit, because 30 is a luxury pick. At 30, you're a luxury pick. You can move. Somebody might try to come back in and get Michael Penix Jr. Like, you've got flexibility and things that you can potentially do. There's nobody that I would say we have to take this position. Like, we don't. So we have that luxury. And like, I keep talking about Peyton Wilson. We lost Patrick Queen. The thing with Peyton Wilson is in this defense, he can rush the edge. He can play inside. He can play rover. He can play like almost like a
box. He is what? Not to track.
4'4 at 6'3". And I don't look too much into that combine 40 type shit. But when you see a guy his size as a linebacker and move the way he does and play with the aggression that he does, he's a guy that you just plug and play day one, and he's going to make your team better.
He's what people think Malik Harrison can do with the playing inside and outside shit of, you know, people think Malik Harrison can line up off the edge and be like a productive edge rusher for us and then step inside and play that, you know, tie us.
But I don't think he makes it. I have him going to Seattle, like what, 16? Because what did Jack Campbell went last year at what, like 19 or 20 or something?
Yeah. Jack Campbell went pretty early.
And he's better than Jack Campbell. And he's more dynamic.
Jack Campbell is a good comp for him. They're the same kind of guy.
I'm saying he's a great backer, but I think Peyton Wilson does more.
Well, and you have Mike McDonald too in Seattle, who recognizes talent like that and would know how to use it. So,
he'd move him around. I mean, you wouldn't see him in the same spot two plays consecutively. Period. Like he would move him around on the edge, inside. Like he does it all. He's
that would be Mike McDonald's. That would be Mike McDonald's Kyle Hamilton equivalent if he took him.
Yes.
So. Yeah, I mean, dream draft scenario where at 30, like Grant said, we're kind of in that luxury spot of if there's six guys on the board that we want, we can move back. If there's somebody who falls, we're in a position to take them. You know, you got a lot of options. I would, again, Brian Thomas would be like my pipe dream pick. You know, again, taking a tackle would be great. Cooper DeJohn from Iowa. I know Will's out on him, but
I'm back in now.
I like him. He's going to be a safety. Like
I'm back like, in now.
He can do a lot too.
Yeah. But, if you take him as your safety slot corner, third safety, you know, play slot corner, like that would be great in our defense.
I'm back
so,
in now because Geno Stone's gone.
And we don't have to, and I don't want to trade up unless somebody drastically falls. I think we need to stay put or move back. Like, there's no sense in us wasting capital to move up because this draft is so deep in our quote-unquote needs.
There is an LSU wide receiver I think we should mention.
I want Keon Coleman.
Yeah, I'm not interested in him.
That's a little key likes him, too.
I love Keon Coleman.
Yeah, I'm not a
gives
big fan.
Kelvin Benjamin vibes. It just gives me Kelvin Benjamin vibes. No, it's the FSU jersey. No. Yeah, that's what do they call that? Helmet scouting or whatever.
Have you watched the tape?
He's a 50-50 guy, but he's not. He can't separate, though.
Man, listen.
We're an anti-separation podcast.
Ain't he a Florida boy?
Again, it's helmet scouting. Same
from somewhere. I
think. He transferred from Michigan State.
Yeah, that's exactly where he came
But the
from.
Reason why I want him, because, like, this isn't to his draft interview, like, how he said, like, I just feel like he can come in and contribute. You feel me?
But he shouted out Rashard.
When I watch his game,
I feel like he
just
can be more than Bateman.
Go ahead. He just knows how to use his body. Like when he uses his body and turns it from the defender, he's able to bring down the ball with no matter where it's placed. And I really feel like that's what Lamar is missing outside of the tight end position.
I'm just wondering if that will translate to the NFL as well as it does in the ACC.
I think it will.
Yo, you got
he has the size.
We just signed Derrick Henry. What you mean? It should work. He's going to have hella opportunity.
It's going to be space.
Yeah, I mean, you're making compelling arguments, but then I just look at him wearing a Florida State jersey, and I'm like, Kelvin Benjamin, he's three Popeyes biscuits away from playing tight end.
Well, don't sleep on my North Carolina guy in the second round, Tez Walker. He's sleeping in the second round.
No,
I'm telling you, he's gonna be.
I don't like him. I like Malik Washington from Virginia better. I know EDC probably listening to this. Hey, EDC, don't draft that dude Walker from what's his name? He had some drop problems in the Senior Bowl, man. We don't need that.
Yeah, and he played for UNC. I'm not interested.
Hey, breaking news. Breaking news. I don't know if this is breaking news or not, but so Dak Prescott was accused of Dak Prescott is suing the accuser for $100 million for extortion.
Interesting.
Hold on.
So
Hold on. I mean, I'm reading the headlines, so maybe I should read.
Yeah, maybe read the article so we don't get 911 calls from Baltimore routed to Massachusetts, you know, sound drop from you.
Miss Shore's damages are valued at a sum of $100 million. Okay, so the extortion is $100 million. He's suing the extortion attempt is $100 million. I see. Okay. He's not suing that for $100 million.
We should thank Dak Prescott for the reason why the Cowboys couldn't make a move on Derrick Henry. That seemed like a Jerry Jones play to overpay Derrick Henry, just the name. And Dak Prescott's inability to rework his contract is exactly why they didn't get him. So couldn't afford him. Grant's boy, Jerry Jones, couldn't figure it out, which is, you know, scary. Because Grant at one point told us that Jerry Jones was an elite GM and does anything necessary to win, but didn't go get Derrick Henry. So I don't know. Lowballed Odell last year. It's just since Grant said that, Jerry Jones has really fallen off. I feel like
you're welcome.
In my ass. Pause.
Yeah,
do y'all want Odell to resign?
Odell,
I do, but I don't think he's going to. Like, it just seems weird that we've heard nothing.
Yeah.
And he's big with Josina Anderson. Like, pretty much any Odell news you get is from her because he just talks directly to her. You think it's coming?
Yeah.
Is it here?
He's out with Kim K, man. He's busy.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I don't want to spread no rumors, but I do feel like he's gonna come back to Baltimore. Like,
I do too.
Why not?
I feel like him and Clowney, like,
especially now that Derrick Henry
move. Yep.
If anything,
so I mean, is that a move we hear before four tomorrow? Because that's when it really needs to be done, is before the dead cap.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think that like tonight, because he's on the West Coast, so I think EDC is working the late night right now, talking it over, and
it's only 8 o'clock over there right now.
Right. So
yes, it is over here.
I think we'll hear something tonight or tomorrow morning about that. And then the other thing is, we were just talking about it. I think we'll hear something tomorrow about Clowney. That's going to be a priority.
When do we have to get under by tomorrow?
I think it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah, tomorrow,
all those moves have been made already. They just haven't been.
I was telling somebody this earlier. Yeah, so EDC didn't sign Derrick Henry and then is going to scramble. He's already got that planned out. He's got some fucking, you know, Excel 93 spreadsheet that he's been working on since, you know, 2005 that has our cap projected out until 2040.
Right.
And he's got theoretical moves and all that. He's probably scouting Pop Warner games and, you know, has like future first round picks on that spreadsheet.
Right.
Like, he's prepared. I think it was it Kyle Barber that tweeted it, that like there's a, you know, restructures and shit and releases that haven't been said out loud yet. It makes perfect sense. Like, I'm sure that EDC didn't want to get in a Za'Darius Smith situation where he thinks he has a deal, he cuts somebody, and then the deal falls through. So he's going to wait until the last second to, you know, make those moves official. Like, that's how we operate, is that if EDC needed $8 million in cap space to clear this year, he has that $8 million cleared, and he's going to wait until the absolute last second. He's going to submit it with the signed paperwork for Derrick Henry, is my guess. So, I mean, I would love Odell back. I don't know. I'm not getting the vibes that he's coming back, but I could be very wrong on that. So I know they don't want to pay him the same number that they paid him last year, but that
if he doesn't re-sign here, I strongly feel like he's going to go to Kansas City.
The only other team I think is maybe the Jets, because he was going to go to the Jets last year.
And I feel like Kansas City, especially with the move that Patrick Mahomes just made.
I think that was for another former Baltimore wide receiver, certain midget that I claimed was going to retire to be a Twitch streamer. So I think Marquise Brown is going to sign there very soon. $21 million is a lot of money, and that's a lot more than Odell Beckham would cost. I think that they're up to something.
I think it was for a reason. They definitely up to something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not you don't kick $21 million down the road unless you have a specific purpose for that money. I guess it could be Legarius Sneed too. I know that there's rumors that like the Titans are big on him and are willing to give up.
He's tagged right now, though.
He's tagged.
Yeah, he's tagged, but I'm saying that maybe it's an extension for him. I don't know. There's something in the works in Kansas City. I have no idea what it is, and it terrifies me. But
we're fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid's bad father anyway, so that's fine. Like, you know, nobody really wants to go play.
Hey, yo, I'm over here watching Derrick Henry highlight tapes, bro. Oh my god, bro.
I mean, me and Key are both like.
That's why you've been so quiet.
Yeah, bro. I ain't gonna lie, bro. This shit crazy, bro.
like we talked about before the show, like there's so many more people, like there's so many names out there that'll come in and help us right away. Like,
well, that's the thing, like, is I'm no longer
I made a quick list of 10 and was like, dude, that's crazy that's still available.
But like I'm no longer, you know, I think running back was the one position that there were, like you said, it's a top heavy free agent market. So there were two or three guys. I felt like Barkley, Jacobs, and Henry were the three guys that could come in and make a legitimate difference right away. And
Aaron that was Jones, really the unexpectedly.
Only, I'm not a huge fan of his, but like I feel like he's in the same class as like an AJ Dillon or an Ezekiel Elliott to me. Like Aaron Jones, I would have been fine with him. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, his cousin lights it up for UConn, so I'm a big fan of Tristan Newton, so I would be okay with Aaron Jones. But that's UConn basketball, for the record. Back-to-back national champions coming soon. Yeah, but
you're drunk.
I'm now – like, I no longer think we're in a rush to sign anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can play that waiting game and you can pick up the, you know, Ronald Darby guy again off the scrap heap or the Jadeveon Clowney or the Kyle Van Noy, whoever doesn't get signed. And there's plenty of guys that are not going to get signed because, like you said, there's so much depth in free agency right now. Of guys that can come in and make an immediate impact, that there's no need to overextend at this point, no need to overpay anybody.
Like my 10 that I wrote down, Tyron Smith, no particular order. Tyron Smith, Clowney, Kyle Duggar, Chase Young, Jonah Williams, Tre'Davious White, Hollywood, Khondre Diggs, Cameron Curl, and Kevin Zeitler. Just like,
so did they tag Duggar or am I wrong?
They transition tagged him, so he's free to sign. They just have to match, which I doubt they would. You know what I mean? But he would come right in for that Geno Stone role, and he's a banger too. He can cover and he will come up and hit. So I mean, I really like. So I end up starring six of them: Tyron Smith, because I'm done with Ronnie Stanley. Tyron Smith, give him a 2-year deal. He's still a wall. Clowney, of course, he needs to be back. Duggar, Jonah Williams looked really good on the right side last year. You know, we lost Morgan Moses. Jonah Williams would come right in and be a really staple on the right side. He's really good in the run blocking game. Tre'Davious White, he doesn't have to be the guy, but it's a good spot.
We didn't lose Morgan Moses, did we?
Yeah, Morgan Moses is still here.
No, but I'm saying, like, if he was a cap casualty.
Gotcha.
And then
Tre'Davious White is just very, and he's been battling them injuries.
Yeah,
he has. That's the only downfall of him. But I really, really like, the more I watch him, I really like Cameron Carl from the Commanders last year. That dude can cover.
Kendall Fuller is free right now too.
He'll come up and hit like
the Commanders. Commander signed the safety that I defense
last year. His father
signed
the
safety I really wanted.
His father being on Twitter Spaces. Remember how that his father said we can try to get him over here.
Kendall Fuller. And Stephon Gilmore, they're available as well.
I wouldn't mind
Stephon Gilmore either.
We can't sign Gilmore. I talked so much fucking shit about him while he was in New England about how he was a system corner and Belichick made and sucks ass in football that I can't live that down if we sign him. Just,
I mean, but
personally, I can't do it.
That was probably on an account that's suspended now. Those tweets are gone.
Oh no, this is like real life.
Oh, fuck them. Who cares about them?
Tom P.
Tom P's bald. Who cares? He's bald.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that guy harassed me for fucking 3 solid years about Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff. I don't know if I could deal with another assault from him. I can't give Tom P ammo. It's a bad thing.
That's fair.
Yeah, Tyron Smith. I don't know. This is controversial in the fan base, tomorrow? But that's what I was about to say. So I think, you know, I think the David Bakhtiari cut is like the – it's – to me, it's the blueprint. They're eating $19.1 million in dead cap on that move, but they're saving 20. So it's net, right. So like we would – it would be a post-June 1 cut designation, but we would be saving.
Can you explain this to our idiot listeners like Lamar Translator who think that, you know, we'd only save $4 million from cutting Ronnie Stanley?
Yeah, no, you're allowed to designate, I believe, 2 per
season. So the only thing about post-June 1 is here's I don't the think we can.
So, yeah, no, you're right on track on that. If you designate someone a post-June 1st cut, you don't see that money until after June 1st.
Right.
However, with Lamar Translator, he's doing it wrong because he's trying to subtract dead cap from your cap savings. All that dead cap is what you've already had to pay your cap savings is your cap savings. So if you do designate him as a post June 1st cut, it's $15 million. If you do pre June 1st, I believe it's 8, correct?
I was going to say, I think it's 9, but.
Yeah, it could be 9.
Splint errors at that point. Who the fuck cares?
Did I see, Tripp, was it you that shared something, or did I see something somewhere that, like, I guess they asked him for a cut, a pay cut, and then if he doesn't take it, then it's potentially.
That was a tweet from the fucking kid who thinks that Babe Ruth shouldn't have a statue at Camden Yards. So I don't know. I don't know if it's real or not. I would take that with a grain of salt.
I could see them, you know, not necessarily giving an ultimatum, but being like, hey, ball's in your court.
If Ronnie Stanley is here next year. Yeah, if Ronnie Stanley's here next year, he's not playing on a $26 million cap hit.
Well, to me, if you cut Ronnie Stanley, you obviously need to replace him, and you need it, and not with, like, an Alejandro Villanueva level tackle. Yeah, you need so Tyron Smith. Basically, you're saying we're going to go try and get Tyron Smith and pay him $15 million a year. You're investing all the money you save on your cap savings into Tyron Smith. So Tyron Smith needs to be willing to take a $15 million deal in order for this to work.
So he was pretty healthy last year, and he was Tyron Smith again. Like,
right.
And like I mentioned before, like, outside of Trent Williams, when Tyron Smith is on the field, he's the best left tackle in football outside of Trent Williams.
He is, right. Like, when you see those highlights of Trent Williams pulling and running downfield, it's crazy the athleticism that guy has at his size. Yeah, and Tyron Smith is as athletic, if not more so. He's crazy.
Your only value Ronnie Stanley brings to the table is that if you are not going to pursue Tyron Smith and you're going to hope to the draft works out, or like there's a, you know, a late camp cut or something like that you can bring in and start at left tackle, and that you draft a kid who's maybe more of a project and you hope for 6 or 7 healthy games in a row out of Ronnie Stanley to start the year. And then you have that, you know, rookie waiting in the wings to step up. Like, that's the only value.
Even 6 or 7 healthy games out of Ronnie Stanley, it doesn't really matter at this point.
It's a lot to ask.
Well, and even healthy doesn't matter, because even when he was healthy for 6 or 7 straight games, you weren't getting 6 or 7 straight games where he was performing at the level that you needed him, even when he was healthy.
But if you do that tackle rotation and you draft a kid at 30 and you start Ronnie, and then you have this kid start off with playing 10 snaps a game.
It's too many variables for me.
I understand, but I'm saying that legit, like, I don't want him here. I'm not advocating for him being here, but the only way I can see him on the roster next year is that he's taken a significant pay cut, and we've kept him for that year as a bridge guy, that we're now treating him like a bridge option. And that's the only way that it makes sense to me.
He needs to be making like 1/3 of what he makes right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I was talking to a couple of our coaches tonight at the practice, and like, I think Ronnie's problem is I think that everything's still there, but I think he's got the yips. And like, when they talked about that shit with Hayden Hurst, ever since he had the ankle injury, he's almost playing timid, like he's playing scared, and he never played like that before. And like, that's honestly, if he's not talking to a sports psychologist, he needs to. Because, like, that's his downfall.
Oh, man, he should call J.J. McCarthy and see who he talks to.
Yeah, I mean, this Notre Dame anime dork overthinking things, that's shocking. Probably in his fucking room right now, jerking off some fucking anime shit. Get him off the team.
You should call Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all think you should try Falele at guard?
Falele at guard?
He might be too big.
I think he's too big, yeah.
I mean, fuck it. Like, here's the thing. I don't even care.
He doesn't move well.
Try Ricard at guard. Try anybody at guard. Going to camp. Who fuck cares?
No, I was just thinking about it because I know a lot of people be saying he got slow feet, but I just like to play tackle. So I was just thinking, like, maybe if you break on his feet, maybe he could be good on the inside. I don't know.
He looked a lot better last year at tackle. Like, he looked like he was a lot more comfortable. And the times that I did see him in the game, he did look like, you know, he developed. And that's the only hope we can have for him, is to continue to develop. Because, like we talked about before with the offensive lineman thing, like, our replacements could be in-house. Like, we had a lot of young depth. Like,
I'm cool with fucking going youth movement at offensive line and seeing what happens. Roll the dice and fucking give it a shot. I mean
we got John, like, Henry now, so shit, pay anybody in that line.
You got a running back who's used to excelling behind a trash bag offensive line anyway.
Fuck it. Why not? Give it a shot.
And I know Drew was joking about the Patrick Ricard thing, but when he's on the field, he's a sixth offensive lineman. So, like,
imagine him clearing the way for Derrick Henry and you're like an opposing defender. I'd be like, fuck this. I'm done.
Oh, it'd suck.
Yeah. I'd just be like, not worth it. I'm making a business decision at this point. I'm just going to get the fuck out of the way. There's going to be some like dead linebackers who just get fucking bowled over twice on the same play, maybe three
times.
There's
going to be one in Pittsburgh.
Hopefully. I mean, that's already been alluded to on Twitter. So,
Will.
Yo.
You know what's crazy? I thought about it earlier when I hosted a space, right? I was like, damn, I already got my set. Remember how we used to have our set plays, like bets every week, like for the parlay?
Yeah.
I already got mine already. Derrick Henry, anytime touchdown every week.
Oh, yeah. You know?
That's going to end up being minus money like McCaffrey touchdowns, I feel like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Zay Flowers, 70 plus yards. Yeah.
I got an interesting scenario I'd like to throw out to the group and see what you guys think. Justin Jefferson, what would it take to go get him?
I got you.
Yeah, oh, go for
bad.
It.
My bad.
Well, I was going to say, what would EDC pull the trigger on that?
Yeah, look, so I asked people in the space earlier. I was like, so look, we give our first round pick this year, right? Second round draft pick next year, right? Also ship off Rashad Bateman.
Yes.
And shit, fuck it. Give him Ronnie Stanley too. Shit.
I mean, I'd drive them all to the airport. Like, I feel like that's just like, I don't know. I don't think that, you know.
I mean, you think if EDC offered them that, you think like the Vikings probably a bite off of it? Because I'm seeing reports now like the Bengals might get Justin Jefferson.
Okay, hold on. The reports that the Bengals might get Justin Jefferson are because Joe Burrow.
That's from some fucking supermarket lady, right?
No, it's Joe Burrow is dating a shelf stalker at Kroger's, and she told her coworker apparently that they're going to get Justin Jefferson. It's not real. There's no shot. They dox Joe Burrow's girlfriend, and now everybody's making fun of her for being a cashier, which is very mean. You shouldn't make fun of people for being cashiers at Kroger's. I've definitely not done that tonight on Twitter at all.
That's why Joe Burrow over there blocking all the Bengal fans, and they going up in the upper row and shit.
They should be blocking Zim. That should be the move.
He's the ringleader. He's a clown.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard T. Higgins' contract was done last year.
He called Geno Stone a bum. Now he's so happy he got him. Now, yeah. I ain't saying Geno Stone a bum, but it's so crazy how you was just saying a week ago he was a bum. Now all of a sudden, you know, but we going to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just Bengals fans are in shambles. But, Justin Jefferson, I think I'd give up two first for him. I don't think I'd blink twice at that.
No, me neither. The numbers are in on PQ's contract.
What are they?
It boils down to basically a 2-year, $27.7 million deal with $13.84 million guaranteed. After 2 years, they can cut him and save $13.3 million and carry only $3.8 in dead cap. It's not that bad of a deal.
That's bad for PQ. That's not bad.
It's a really good deal for the Steelers.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. What I was he hoping doing? He was gonna...
Yeah.
He must not have had a market. I don't know.
His cap hit in year one is 6.1. Cap hits in year two and three. Year two, 17.7. 2026, 17.2.
That's ugly. He must not have had a market. That's the only thing.
So, I mean, basically, it's a one-year tryout deal. They'll restructure or extend him after year one because they're not going to carry a $17.7 million cap hit on PQ in year two, but they did a good job on that shit.
That's alarming what him and Geno Stone got on the open market, and that just nobody wanted them. I mean,
Geno Stone did well for himself, all things considered.
I thought Geno was going to get more than that, though.
Well, with Kevin Byard getting the exact same contract.
Yeah, but look at what McKinney got.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so I mean, I felt like you could split the difference with Geno Stone and be somewhere in between the two. But you know, what was McKinney? McKinney is 17 mil a year, I think, something in that range. And you know, Byard's 7.5. So I thought like 10 was not a stretch for Geno Stone, but didn't sniff 10. And then I thought Patrick Queen was going to get 15. Like, just no questions asked. I just thought that was going to be the going rate for a middle linebacker, and he didn't get shit. So
he still can back out that contract, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of funny. Actually, I would be.
He has not put pen to paper yet.
I would be no. I don't even care where Patrick Queen goes at that point. If he backs out of that Steelers contract and goes to fucking Texans or goes to the Seahawks, that would be a phenomenal move.
Mm-hmm. That would be fucking hilarious if Geno and him did that.
I would take Patrick Queen. I would take Patrick Queen off of my Mount Rushmore. I made the comparison earlier that Judas sold Jesus out for 12 pieces of silver and Patrick Queen sold the Ravens out for $13 million a year and inflation probably about the same. If Patrick Queen pulls that troll move on the Steelers, then he'd have my respect. He can go wherever the fuck he wants.
You were fact checked by an Italian on that.
Yeah, I don't value his opinion. He told
Italian
me,
doctor.
He told me that facts matter more than a good Twitter story. So that just totally invalidates his opinion.
Yeah, that's definitely not true.
Yeah, that's just bad. You know, totally against my code of conduct on the internet. So Justin Jefferson has got to be an option for us, I would think. The two first round picks, whatever. I don't know what other splash move is out there for us to make besides him. Like those are the only things that I'm thinking of leading up to the draft is like what fucking wild move can you see pull out of his ass that would have everybody.
Yeah, we're not trading for T. Higgins, obviously. That's
We're not giving the Bengals anything. Bengals won't send it. And
the Bengals not going.
Are,
they're not going to fall through with that trade.
And that's the other one is people are saying that that's what the Chiefs cleared cap space for. There's no shot the Bengals trade to the Chiefs. Chiefs
that's
could
what
offer
I
four
said.
First-round picks.
I just told two people that they're like, oh, he's going to go to the Chiefs. Like I'm like, it's a difference. He has to be traded. It's not just he can sign whoever he wants. He has to be traded there.
The Chiefs would have to pay a really fucking steep price to get him, and I don't think they'd pay that.
They got rid of Tyreek Hill because they would not pay him top wide receiver money.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Tyreek Hill is out there like assaulting people left and right, so maybe they made the right choice there. But
yeah, but isn't there? Oh no, that's the guy they already have on their roster. There's no like whispers about Justin Jefferson. He's got a clean background, right?
Well, all other GMs that aren't the Baltimore Ravens, I've heard Justin Jefferson hates animals and beats women frequently. So
don't
want him. But
Chase has that baby mama drama, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's got something. She accused him of assault and that went away, but it was
I honestly don't believe that because it's popped up over and over again and it just goes away.
What I believe is that he's linked to some fucking crazy chick.
Oh yeah, obviously she's a crazy person, right? But like the fact that nothing's ever come from that, it means to me there's no credibility behind it. But
it's one of those things of if you're like a team's PR person, like you just don't want to deal with that every year. At some point they're gonna get sick of, you know, Jamar Chase's baby mama saying that he like beat the shit out of her for the 18th year in a row.
In the back of my mind, I sometimes get Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson a little bit confused because they were on the same college team and they're both really good. So
I mean I would Justin Jefferson or, you know, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Khalil Mack, or Joey Bosa. I think people are downplaying our connection to the Chargers and like just the, you know, ease that move would be. And EDC would fleece his, underling. Like he'd feel no remorse for, you know, fucking taking Joe Ortiz to the cleaner.
Right.
So, and they're in a bad cap. I think, what are they, like $20 million over the cap right now? Like they have to get rid of one.
They need to make some moves. So, you know, there's some people owe some favors.
Yeah, if that cutoff is and we've just gotten rid of, you know, fucking Tyus Bowser and Ronnie Stanley, and we've restructured Lamar, Marlin, Marcus Williams, whoever the fuck you want to throw in there. And, you know, EDC makes the call to Joe Ortiz and says, hey, you know, I'll give you a fifth and I'll help you out here. I'll eat some salary. Like, I can see that getting done.
All right, here's I know Trippy, for one, is going to like come off mute and try and chop my head off for this, but a guy who's going to be a free agent just for some wide receiver depth, veteran wide receiver depth. We've talked about this. Jump ball guy, does not separate, but he's a jump ball guy, proven jump ball guy. DeVante Parker is going to be available.
He already signed with the Eagles.
Somebody said he signed with the Eagles.
He did? He signed that quick?
I ain't want his bum ass anyway.
Yeah, I knew he was going to say that shit.
He signed with the Eagles.
He signed a 1-year deal
like 5 minutes after the end.
I wouldn't have minded him on the roster. We just don't have guys like that.
No, but at the same time, like, I would rather have like Mike Williams.
He don't do it for me.
Yeah, Like, if we got Devontae Parker, I wouldn't be mad.
I'm not saying he would move the needle for him. I'm just saying, like, in terms of wide receiver depth, he fills a role that we don't have.
I would rather go rookie over him.
Yeah, sure. I'm with Key on that.
Sure. But, you know, a rookie, and we've said this about a lot of, you know, for a lot of different reasons.
I mean, we need
Key,
a lot
and I,
of
you were
season,
texting,
man.
You and I were texting before the podcast about quarterbacks. You know, like, somebody's never proved anything as a pro. You don't know if they're going to come in and
yeah,
actually
I was
do
just
it.
I was talking to Drew about that too.
Yeah.
So, but Devontae Parker has proven himself to be someone who cannot separate. He's been dead last in separation in the NFL four straight years, but he has also proven he can go up and get the ball. So he catches.
But look,
the ball.
Right. But what I was right to say, like don't disrespect the Bateman though. I just feel like
no, all disrespect to Bateman.
Yeah,
fuck him. Yeah, that's how I feel now too. Fuck him. And hold on, let me say something real quick. The only reason I'm saying fuck him because every time I'm on the podcast, I know y'all, you know, talk y'all shit, and I always be trying to ride for him and shit. But nah, fuck that. Fuck him. But anyway, we need like another proven receiver because like I fuck with Nelson Aguilar, but at the same time, he only probably on another 1 year deal.
He's a
so I feel like
if you want Nelson Aguilar to be your wide receiver too. Like that's a problem.
No, I don't want to say he's a wide receiver too. I want to say
no, but
like,
I'm saying if we're in the position where he's the second best wide receiver on our roster,
that's what I'm saying. That's a big problem, especially because basically at the next year Zay gone. You feel me? So I feel like EDC probably. I mean, not Zay gone. My bad. Zay gonna be the only one left on the team. My bad.
Yeah. I was gonna say it's the opposite.
Oh, you caught that this week? How well you caught that? You ain't sleep over there. But
I've been awake the whole time, wide awake.
But
was locked and loaded this week.
But that's what I feel like because at the end of the day, like, hey, we don't know what Bateman going to do. You get what I'm saying? It's just like I'd rather have a receiver.
I know what he's
going
to do.
I feel like if EDC draft two receivers, right, or even we bring in a vet because we still don't know who's going to get released afterwards, right, and we still draft two receivers, they don't have to be – even if we draft the receiver in the first round, that's good.
Nah.
But the only reason I'm saying that's good because that's a sign that Bateman ass might be up out of there, right? Because that's back to back years.
See, Trippy and I are on the same wavelength on that.
I just don't think I think that the offensive line is a bigger priority, but I think
it is. But
listen, you got
Odell. Re-sign Odell. Get rid of Bateman. Draft a receiver round two. We have Nelly, and I think Nelly and Odell's roles, but their target share increases with Bateman not being a fucking Hoover and sucking up all the fucking the targets. They're wasted targets on Bateman. What the fuck does he do with the ball? Nothing.
And let me tell y'all another thing too, right? Because, you know, I'll be analyzing shit when I be at the games and stuff. Whenever I'm at the games, like when Bateman pull up, he by himself. Like he always by himself. Like you'll see Nelly pull up, then you'll see Zay pull up together, and they all in cahoots like they happy. You feel me? Even the not Odell, because you know Odell go the other way. But you feel me? It's just the vibe. It just feel like Bateman always want to be to himself for real. Like
he's a loner.
I mean, yeah, and I don't get that shit. And I feel where Will coming from. Yeah, bring Odell back, right? And still draft two more receivers because I feel like it'll still be like the same team from last year, like the offense. Only thing we're missing is, I guess, Bateman to be gone, right?
Draft Roman Wilson and Luke McCaffrey. We're a good shit.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. I really, really like this Leggett guy, though. I love him too.
And I was
the problem with Leggett is that he's now put himself of, like, before I thought we could have got him at 62. I feel like we can't get him at 62 anymore. He's going to be gone. And I think that taking him at 30 is a reach. And so now he's in that.
I do agree. I think 30 is not a great number.
Yeah, I think 30 would be overdrafting him. And 62 is a fucking pipe dream that he's still
there.
So
what you think? Like, if he really like on our draft board, we just like draft out of 30 and probably like.
I think if they're, you know, hard is set on Xavier Leggett, that they're going to trade out of 30, is my guess.
He's going to start climbing draft boards. He's one of those guys that. You're going to start hearing more about him at like 20 plus.
He is. I'm telling you, it's like, what's it called? Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He's like whatever the good version of that is. I don't know. The Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, whichever the nice guy version is, he's that. Except George Pickens is the nasty, like the one you don't want. Like
you just go with like yin and yang.
Yin and yang, right.
Exactly. Or are you just giving Jake an opportunity to jump in and give us a random pop culture fact?
Or like a
guy who wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, murdered 14 children in Europe or something.
Or like in Marvel terms, like.
Thanks for that, Drew.
I didn't know either.
Leggett is the Hulk when he learned how to be like the Hulk.
With
David Banner's brain and like, and, you know, and like be Got like the
David,
the.
David Banner?
Not yeah, David Banner, right?
David
Bruce
Banner.
David Banner. I just slashed Bruce her Banner. Tires.
Hey, that's a nice rap Bruce reference. Banner. That's a good rap reference.
Banner.
Bruce Banner.
He was David Banner in the show because they changed his name from Bruce to David because they thought Bruce sounded gay. So technically, with the Lou Ferrigno show, he was Bruce Banner.
The Lou Ferrigno show, and I watched that shit. Drew probably never even heard of it.
For once.
Will was 33. Will was 33 when the Lou Ferrigno one came up.
I used to watch
it.
Well, do you know who Big Crit is?
Hmm?
Do you know who Big Crit is?
No, just like
yeah, know soundtrack who, legend.
No, and I'm telling, and I did not. Honestly, I don't know a goddamn song David Banner performed.
Yeah, but
I do remember.
More like a producer.
But I do remember when that guy
like
came around because I thought.
What do you mean?
Those words ring a bell. I don't know the song, but that sounds familiar. But
words ring a
when
bell.
David Banner stayed in Mississippi. Yeah.
But
what do you mean?
When that name popped up, I'm like the Incredible Hulk, and then I'm like, then I watch the movie, and I'm like, Bruce Banner, what the fuck, Bruce Banner, David Banner.
So this is how we separate the elderly now, is that if they think of the Hulk as David Banner, they're fucking 87 years old and drink at the
that
Legion
fucking the old Hulk or, show is awesome, it's great.
Or you want
Ferrigno is better known, for his
cameos
on King of Queens
or in I Love You Man.
Fair, it's also good.
There you go.
Yeah.
So late stage Adam Sandler.
But get what I'm saying here? Leggett is like the version of the Hulk who was able to like be civilized.
He is George Pickens without the baggage.
Yeah.
He's George Pickens with a brain in his head.
Honestly, exactly. He's probably and not just saying this, but I see the comparison, but he's even more of a dude than George Pickens. Like
he's more polished.
Yeah, I mean, his run after the catch, his physicality, like, he's got a lot of similar things, but he doesn't have, like, the emotional side of it, and he's like...
That's what I'm saying.
He's just a locked in dude. Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Guess what makes the Hulk out of control? When he gets angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking
David
George
Banner,
Pickens.
When David Banner gets angry.
Yeah, right, exactly, right.
David Banner gets angry, he drops songs you don't know about. Can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
There it is.
Beats up retarded children.
Before we get out of here...
Oh, go ahead, Jake.
Before we get out of here, Key, do you have anything to promote?
If I have anything to promote, I got a single out right now. I'm proud of me. So, hey.
And it's great, too, by the way. Great
song.
For
sure.
Yeah.
Where can I listen to it? Is it on all streaming platforms?
On all streaming platforms, on Apple Music, Spotify, whatever you listen to. It's on there. So, check that out.
Pretty soon, I'm going to be paying for DistroKid to release some shit of my own. So, I feel you. So, hey, that's a good thing.
Sure.
Off the bars, though, it's different. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week's installment. We will be back to discuss this, that, and the other, and firm signings, and a whole bunch more shit, and calling Drew a whack bitch. You know he's all right.
What did I do?
you have to catch a stray. We don't argue enough on the internet because I'm not on the internet. So I have
You wouldn't survive an internet argument.
Jake wouldn't last a minute in the fucking group chat.
Yeah, Jake.
So I think Jake can last.
Jake,
I think he can last.
Jake would be. Oh man, there's a lot of messages I gotta catch up on.
Jake would be like, this is why I'm not on the internet anymore.
Jake would be the Grandpa Simpson meme in the fucking in the group chat. He would show up and be like, holy shit, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that shit.
I wouldn't leave the chat. I would be. What's it called? I'd be checking it at like 9 o'clock at night, y'all time. So I'm like, huh? Oh, damn. That's a lot of things.
I feel like,
every morning I wake up and Grant has responded individually to like 17 like different messages.
Because I go to bed at 9 normally.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Grant responds to messages that I sent. I'm like, what the fuck was I even talking about? I don't even know what we're arguing about at that point.
Yeah, I go back and look like, oh, shit.
I got to go back and look at context. I'm like, I don't even know.
Well, I'll start responding because it like leaves off where you left off. And then I'll start responding and then realize it's been like 180 messages. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's times where you respond to like out of context shit that Will and I say. I'm like, what the fuck is this kid talking about?
But anywho, it's time for me to die.
See ya!
Oh, you remember to say see ya.
Zone 32.